So we'll take public testimony on House Bill 1070.
All right.
No, Judge, we're not going to rise. We're just going to take your seat up there.
We're battling the impulse, however.
Yeah. I flexed a little, but...
For those of you that don't know me on the committee, my name is Dave Gilbertson. I'm the chief judge.
Thank you. And I'd like to visit with you for a few minutes this morning about Bill 70. And this bill does two things. It secures the safety and the privacy of judges, spouses, and children to a certain extent. Nothing is for sure. And I guess you might wonder, why is it needed? Well, there has been some problems all along, and they probably can't be avoided, but maybe minimized as far as threats to judges. Families are an obvious target. Interestingly enough, most threats don't come from the criminal area. They probably arise from domestic relations cases. And there's been increased internet access to public records. And after September 11th, we really don't fear Osama bin Laden coming over here after us, but there's the copycat syndrome that we're also concerned about. And as you may notice, this bill covers both federal and state judges in South Dakota. And I happen to be visiting with Charles Cornman, who's a United States Federal District Judge from Aberdeen, and he said they've had significant problems recently. They've been getting fake anthrax letters in the mail. They just had a person convicted in federal court for threatening Judge Cornman. And so there is a problem in this state. And as far as the bill specifically, it does a few things. It requires the judge to take the initiative. The judge has to ask a specific office to delete the home address or the names of the kids, such as the auditor at the county level or the assessor. And he must do that he or she must do that in writing. And he must identify the offices. In other words, it has to be a letter to each office. There is no central filing place that he can put the letter, or she can. So we just thought it would be easiest to have them contact the officials directly that they want the information protected. In this year of short dollars, this is revenue neutral. The judge has to pay for the stamp. will cost the county or the state nothing. And there's no penalty for noncompliance. We assume there'll be good faith compliance by whoever is requested to protect the records. And if they make a good faith mistake, we just assume it'll be corrected. I guess the bottom line is we're asking no more than the telephone company already does, and that is if you don't want your street address listed in the phone book, they don't list it. And yesterday I happened to stop at the Hughes County Courthouse, and they have in one big room, they have the assessor, the treasurer, and the voting registration person. And it was slow, so all three of them kind of came together, and I said, if Osama bin Laden came in here this morning and asked for Dave Gilbertson's home address, would you have to give it to him? And they giggled, and then they got real seriously, and I said, yes, I suppose we would. We don't have any legal reason not to. So hopefully he won't appear today and ask for my home address, but if he does, he's going to get it under the current law. And as Judge Cornman said, this isn't a cure-all. We were talking about the bill, but he says it's no sense making it easier for people that want to cause problems. So that's my comments. And
any questions of the witness?
Thank you very much.
Any further proponents of House Bill 1070? If not, we'll close the committee from public testimony for committee discussion and or action. Representative Monroe.
I'm kind of wondering why we're just protecting one arm of government here.
Let me ask that.
Yeah.
This is a bill that was originally came out of state of Florida, and there they protected all public officials. We thought it highly presumptuous to draft the bill to include anybody other than judges, and if somebody else wants to seek the same protection, let them do it.
Any further questions?
Mr. Chairman, I believe you may have a
still on pro bono?
We're on pro bono.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was pro bono.
Well, I did close it, but that's okay. Is there any opponents on House Bill 1070? Opponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, my name is David Bordewijk. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Newspaper Association. I come in opposition to this bill, and it's not easy to do from the standpoint that I cannot disagree with wanting to protect the safety and security of public officials, including judges and lawmakers and anyone else. I think that is of vital importance to us all. On the other hand, I have questions as to whether this bill as written will provide that safety and security to our judges for what it does. And I have questions as to whether giving this confidentiality, throwing this confidentiality blanket over home addresses, home phone numbers, and in fact, is creates more of an insulation, a wall around our public officials than what we want or expect. And I say public officials, when I talk about the judges, I feel strongly that as a public official, whether you're elected or appointed or you serve in the public arena, there is a certain expectation, a certain level of exposure that comes with that. You know that as legislators. I just not comfortable with the idea that we create this block, this wall around this group of public officials. I see it as something that could very easily be extended to others. Why not legislators? I know you include your home phone numbers and addresses in the directories and so forth, and there's probably times when you would just soon not have your home phone numbers available to people. But that, again, comes with the expectation of public service. We don't oppose this bill because it would mean that reporters couldn't get a hold of a judge for a story or trying to get track down some information so much. That's not what this is about. This is more about, I think we have to look at, you have to look at and ask, is this the direction we want to go? You know, within the bills that are already filed in the legislature, there are at least a half a dozen that have bills filed so far, at least a half a dozen bills that have confidentiality provisions and clauses in them. Some of them are legitimate, certainly. But I think every time we throw up that confidentiality provision or throw it into a piece of legislation, we have to stop and ask ourselves, is this the right thing to do? And finally, I would just add from a personal experience on this matter. About a year ago, we had in my community in Brookings, a young woman who my wife and I know well, who was involved in a domestic dispute incident and was put into jail on a Friday night after 6 o'clock. And she was terrified, understandably so, because of what had happened to her. And even more so because she had a 6-month-old baby at home, or wasn't at home. We were actually watching over the baby at the time. And we didn't know what to do. But after making some phone calls and so forth, I found out that it would be Monday morning before she could go before a judge, and she would have to spend the weekend in the jail. And knowing this newborn baby at home and so forth, I didn't know what to do, but I started making some phone calls, and I got a hold of a judge at home. And I'm very grateful for that judge taking my phone call on a Friday evening at home. And I'm very grateful for him allowing that person to be released from jail over the weekend, put her in my responsibility, and made sure that she was in court Monday morning, and we did that. But that happened because I was able to get a hold of someone on a Friday evening after normal business hours. So with that, I just close and ask you to give serious consideration to what this bill does. Thank you.
Any question of the witness from the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. David, thanks for coming to testify this morning. I too share your concern about public access in a small state like South Dakota to our public officials. And I think a year ago I would have agreed with you. There's a story about Winston Churchill when he changed his opinion. Someone walked up to him and said, "How can you justify this?" And he said, "When the facts change, I change my opinion. Tell me then, what is it then that you do?" And my question is, how has the events of September, I mean, we're living in a different society today, a much more dangerous society. We have terrorist attacks here at home. What differently should we be doing since September 11 to protect our public officials from possible terrorist attacks? And then the second part of that question is, at what point, if any, in your opinion, is a public official entitled to some privacy in his or her life? I mean, are we on the job 24/7? Do you have the right to call at 2:00 in the morning? That sort of thing. So if you just address both those questions.
Your latter question first. Are you on the job 24/7? No. But on the other hand, you know as well as I do that as a public official yourself, once you step into that arena, it's different than in private life. The expectations to your constituents, to the citizens, is different. And what level is it? I mean, where does the clock turn off for you, for judges or all elected officials? I don't know. I don't know what time of night that clock, you know, turns off. It's hard to say. And a response to 9/11, it is a different world today, no doubt. And as a nation, we are you know, going through that process of what levels of security do we need to provide for our citizens, as well as for government, for public officials. You know, how far do we go? But and some of it is merited and justified. And I think I've seen along the way, particularly at the national level, where some of the measures taken to provide security, to close off access to different levels of government information and so forth, have gone overboard, have gone too far. And I just think it's very important that when we have these types of legislation, even after 9/11, that we at the very least give serious consideration to what it means in the long term and how far it should go.
Mr. Chairman, if I can follow up. In South Dakota, though, aren't we just the exact opposite? I mean, right now we've got the names and addresses of all of our legislators and pictures on the internet. But last year, this committee, against my objection, killed a bill that would have put sex offenders on the internet. So in South Dakota, we give sex offenders more protection and privacy than we do legislators. So isn't it just in South Dakota, isn't the exact opposite? I mean, aren't we in danger of giving out too much information here?
I don't wish to get into the debate about putting sex offenders' pictures on the internet, but you're right. I mean, the irony in that is that if we're not doing that in terms of for criminals, people convicted of heinous crimes, shouldn't we at the very least be able to give this protection to judges? It's a valid question. I understand where you're coming from.
Representative Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for both Daves because this needs to be cleared up. When I read the federal code and rules a long time ago, it said the court's open 24/7 anyway. Somebody can correct me on that. But a judge is always supposed to be available. But this leads into a question I have to ask Judge Gilbertson. This bill isn't going to make it you unavailable. Can they call the court still? Then they can call you at home or what?
Well, the whole question of telephone is a red herring because that's a private relationship between the judge and the phone company. This bill doesn't even address that. If I want an unlisted number, I don't really rely on this bill, I call the phone company and say I want an unlisted number. If I don't want my street address shown in the phone book, I call the phone company. What this does is allows the Register of Deeds, the assessor, and the county treasurers to say, no, we are not going to release David Gilbertson's street address to you, Mr. Bin Laden, and you're going to have to get that elsewhere. You are correct, though, Mr. Monroe, or Representative Monroe, excuse me, the courts are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the instance cited by the gentleman, because the judge's number was in the phone book, he was able to be contacted. But this does not affect in any way the judge's name and phone book. All it does is address state and county governmental agencies, which I assume walk up at 5 o'clock anyways. So you're not going to get the judge's telephone number at midnight from the assessor, because the assessor's office is locked up.
I have one question. Included in this is the spouse and child of a judge or justice. You have to admit that a judge is in a position of an adversary position, which irritates some people. Don't you think it's important that the judge's wife and family should be protected by not giving out their address and phone numbers?
I can't argue with the protection of wife and family, spouse and children from harassment or safety concerns. I can't argue that. I guess I question removing, making confidential these phone numbers and addresses and courthouses and other public offices, if it really achieves what it intends to do.
And the next question, if you want to get a hold of a judge during his office hours, all you have to do is that number of his employment in the courthouse is available to everyone. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, yes.
Any further questions? Thank you for appearing. Any further opponents to House Bill 1070? Any further opponents? If not, we'll close the hearing at the committee from public testimony on 1070 for committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Monroe.
I move we defer House Bill number 1070 to the 36th day. No, excuse me, Mr. Chairman. Pass. Can I start over, please?
Please do.
Maybe I should. I think we had a proponent up there. You better do it.
Representative Mattson. Starting out to be a bad day already.
No, it's going to get better. I move to pass.
Second. Motion made by Mattson, seconded by...
Those were similar.
By Monroe, I'll do pass. Any discussion on the do pass motion?
Chairman.
Representative Ihany.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Honor, with all due respect and to everyone else, I'm going to be forced to vote no on this, I think. I think that a public person who assumes the role of a public servant needs to be available to the public, and that they have no right to any more protection than any other person in our country. In fact, in the 37 years that I've been in public service, my name and phone number and address has always been in the phone book. I've been called in the middle of the night many times by citizens. In fact, I recall one time I was called at midnight to tell me there was an accident at a certain intersection in Rapid City, and I said, "Is anyone hurt?" And she said, "No," and I said, "Thank you," and she hung up, and I called the police department and sent cars to investigate the accident. But that person thought, since I worked for them, that they should have access to me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I believe the same thing. I understand that this bill does not make that information secret, it just makes it not a public record in the courthouse and so on. But I have a suspicion that we will be tending, because of the events on September 11th, we'll be tending to overdo on the side of security all the way. And I'm not inclined to do that. Frankly, I refuse to hide and I refuse to be intimidated by those who would intimidate us. And I think the passage of this kind of bill only accepts the fact that we must now live in a gated community and those who are after us have the run of the house. And so I am going to vote no on this bill.
Any further comment from the committee? Any further comment? If not, Secretary, call the roll.
Bartling?
No.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Hennies?
No.
Jensen?
Aye.
Madsen?
Aye.
McCauley?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Marshall?
Aye.
Nachtigall?
No.
Siebert?
No.
Michaels?
Aye.
And Brown?
Aye. The do pass motion passes on a vote of 8 yeas and 4 nays. We will assign this to the House floor to Representative McCauley. And also in the caucus. Now, may I have a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting?
So moved.